This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Who makes the rules for self-driving cars? Plus, what if you don't have $1,000 for a new Apple phone? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The National Transportation Safety Board has now ruled that Tesla's autopilot feature contributed to a deadly crash in Florida last year. That driver died after his electric car collided with an 18-wheeler truck that crossed in front of him. He was using that car's autopilot feature at the time. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has been following some of the implications here. Mariel, what did that agency find?
It found a few reasons for the crash. For one thing, it said the truck driver was making a left turn and didn't yield the right of way to the car. Also, the Tesla driver wasn't paying attention because he was relying on the car's autopilot. And the agency said he was able to do that because of the way the software was designed.
So this agency investigated. How does it work, actually?
It allows drivers to take their hands off the wheel, but the company says it's not a fully self-driving technology and drivers need to pay attention. The system actually prods them to put their hands back on the wheel every so often. But this federal report found the software didn't have enough safeguards. You know, for instance, it said autopilot should measure how alert drivers are, not just whether their hands are on the wheel. And the agency made a few recommendations for safety as companies develop driverless cars going forward.
But more broadly, self-driving technology, of course, a huge area of investment right now. Is the U.S. government more likely to crack down on this now?
Not necessarily. Yesterday, the Department of Transportation, a different federal agency, came out with voluntary guidelines for companies developing driverless cars rather than rules the government can enforce. The Transportation Secretary, Elaine Chao, said this industry is changing quickly and the government shouldn't get in the way of progress by putting up, quote, unnecessary or unintended barriers.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you very much. So Apple's new $999 phone will not be called the iPhone X after all. So much for the rumors. After yesterday's release of the iPhone X, which unlocks with facial recognition and has an extra detailed display, there's been a lot of headlines about Apple going for the super premium market, that Apple has gone all Porsche or Lamborghini on us. But Molly Wood, host of our companion program Marketplace Tech, says the real story is all the other cheaper phones that Apple will also be selling.
What's very interesting is how many different models of iPhone there now are for sale and at how many different price points. You could go all the way back to an iPhone 6 or even the low-priced iPhone SE if you're fine with, you know, a really good camera and a really fast processor and Touch ID instead of facial recognition. So Apple may be banking on the idea that it can sell a lot of phones, which is still its most important product. It makes up 55% of Apple's revenue, but not necessarily sell a lot of iPhone X.
After the great unveiling yesterday, Apple stock ended down about 1% if you count the after hours and pre-market trading this morning. Some other numbers, the 100-share index in London is down 0.2%. Dow and S&P futures are down 0.1% each. NASDAQ futures are down 0.2%. Crude oil in New York is up 0.75%, $48.59 a barrel. The pharmacy and convenience store chain, known as CVS, is taking its no-cigarette sales philosophy several steps further. It's moving its quick-grab candy and cookies away from the checkout into the relative obscurity of the aisles and taking away stuff like low SPF sunscreen. As Sally Herships reports in the Drugstore Wars, subtle changes have a huge economic impact.
Kelly Peretti is in her 30s. She's a mom with two small girls under the age of 10.
What are you shopping for today? Or what were you looking for?
Well, I was bringing back lip gloss that was the wrong color. But the first color was awesome.
Heredi says she's in this CVS in North Arlington, New Jersey. It's right around the corner from her house. So you'd think she would notice the new healthy direction the company is aiming for, but
I haven't actually noticed.
Which is what many shoppers here this morning said. It's because the changes are subtle. In its redesigned stores, like this one, CVS has moved some candy away from those low shelves by the cash register, but only 25%. If you're trying to stay healthy, it's still a danger zone. But CVS has removed trans fats from its store brand food products. Why all these tiny changes now? They're all connected to a decision CVS made 3 years ago.
I know that they stopped selling cigarettes, which was excellent. It was just wonderful.
Losing tobacco products was also expensive. $2 billion in lost sales. And competition is fierce. Last year, CVS lost a prescription contract for the Department of Defense to Walgreens. Barbara Kahn teaches marketing at Wharton.
If they're going to make a big bet like that, it wouldn't make sense then to have other products that are perceived as unhealthy close to the front in an impulse position.
Kahn says too many candy bars near the register could undermine the message CVS wants to send consumers.
We're your healthy option. We're the ones that you can depend on because we're looking out for your health success.
Kahn says that message is important because retail sales are headed down. It's the pharmacy business that's growing. CVS's pharmacy sales rose almost 10% last quarter to more than $32 billion. But CVS pharmacy president Helena Folk says setting yourself apart from the competition can be tough.
I would say overall, drugstores are still a category that in the consumer's minds are not incredibly differentiated, and that's partly why we're doing this.
But John Palizza, a former Walgreens executive, says unless your brand name is something like Whole Foods, changes can be a turnoff for shoppers, resulting in lost sales.
And that is at direct odds with Wall Street investors.
Who want profits now. But CVS says it is seeing an increase. Overall sales are up 2.5% at its new stores. It plans to update 80 more this year. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And listen to our new, especially global version of the business news hosted from London by the BBC's Anu Anand. It's in with my Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed, wherever podcasts are given out free. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.